Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up later this hour, we will check out the American Heritage Dictionary list of 100 words that every high school graduate should know. And we will ask for your nominations of words that every high school graduate should know. There are words on their list like moiety and pecuniary. We think you may have some other ideas. So we have opened up a comments page on our website for you to post words in advance of that segment that you think every high school graduate should know. And you can see what others will post as well. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see the 100 words page and post your words that you think every high school graduate in America should know, okay? And we'll talk about it in about a half hour. But a major court ruling in America, a major election in Egypt, democracy and the military at issue in both. In this country, maybe you've heard about yesterday's landmark ruling from a federal appeals court that said President Bush may not declare civilians in this country to be enemy combatants and turn them over to the military. Listen to this language from the court if you haven't heard it yet. Quote, to sanction such presidential authority to order the military to seize and indefinitely detain civilians, even if the president calls them enemy combatants, would have disastrous consequences for the Constitution and the country. We refuse to recognize a claim to power that would so alter the constitutional foundations of our republic, unquote from the Fourth Circuit Court. And that's not the ACLU talking. This has a reputation as perhaps the most conservative federal appeals court in the country. So what does this mean? With me briefly now is Adam Liptak, national legal correspondent for The New York Times. This is the lead story in The Times today up in the upper right-hand corner of page one. So, Adam, thanks so much for coming on with us. Welcome to WNYC.
Sure, Brian. Hello.
Give us a background first on this court. What's their reputation and ideological history?
Well, there's really little question that the Fourth Circuit in Richmond, Virginia, is the most conservative federal appeals court in the country, and it's the administration's favorite court, which is why so many cases end up before it. That said, the panel that decided yesterday's case contained two of the most liberal members of the Fourth Circuit, so it's possible to oversell a little bit how unusual it is to mm-hmm. see this decision coming out of the Fourth Circuit. Both of the judges in the majority in the three-judge decision were appointed by President Clinton.
I see. So three judges actually make this ruling. There's a larger group of judges and some rule on some cases.
Has already said they're going to try to take this to the full Fourth Circuit, and their chances are probably pretty good.
Why did the court use such stark language, from their perspective, about the foundations of our Constitution and the future of our country?
Well, I think it's because this is perhaps the boldest claim the administration makes, that they can pick up anyone off of an American street, throw them in a military brig to be held by the military, and not give them access to the courts. So that's really an extraordinary claim, and it's one, I went to the argument some months ago in Richmond, one that really seemed to offend the judges in the majority. They were saying, well, what's to stop the president from taking somebody from people for ethical treatment of animals and throwing that person in a military brig? Don't the courts have a role to play here?
And they compared this to the Unabomber and the Oklahoma City bomber,
right.
Did the majority on the court. And there was the dissent, though, which says this case, this Ali Al-Mari, a citizen of Qatar who had been believed to be working with Al-Qaeda and was arrested shortly after September 11th, the dissent said that the president, quote, had the authority to detain Al-Mari as an enemy combatant or a belligerent because he is the type of stealth warrior used by Al-Qaeda to perpetrate terrorist acts against the United States.
Yes.
And so in the administration's opinion and the opinion of this dissent, somebody who's a stealth warrior for Al-Qaeda should not be seen as the same category as the Unabomber.
Right. Well, in fairness to the administration, if their assertions are to be believed and they've not been tested in court, Al-Mari is a very bad guy. Al-Mari was sent here by the mastermind of 9/11, they say, to commit mass murder. What the majority says is two things. One, it's not good enough for the administration merely to say so. They have to prove it. But also, they say, that if this guy has committed terrible crimes, and the administration claims he has, we have mechanisms for dealing with that. We can take him to criminal court, as we have with another former enemy combatant, Jose Padilla, and charge him in the federal justice system, which has put a lot of alleged terrorists away after the first World Trade Center bombing and in other settings.
Are there implications for Guantanamo? Because this applies to civilians within the United States, not the terrorism suspects being held at Guantanamo, even though they may be held for the exact same kinds of things.
Right. The ruling was quite narrow, and by the plain terms of the ruling, does not extend to Guantanamo. It dealt with a narrow class of people, civilians who had lawfully entered the United States, this guy was living in Peoria, who had established some roots in the United States. That doesn't apply to the guys in Guantanamo. That said,
and that's the legal distinction.
Yes. But the music of the decision, the atmospherics of the decision, particularly when you put it next to just a week ago, two military judges in Guantanamo didn't let war crimes charges against Guantanamo detainees proceed there because the administration, they said, had not followed the law. Given the calls from prominent people like Colin Powell to close Guantanamo, all of this does seem to be a gathering storm from places you wouldn't really expect it, in opposition to the administration's policies.
So my next guest, sitting in the studio right now waiting to go on, has written a book about Middle Eastern countries under military rule. And listen to how he characterizes the specific qualities of some of these countries' governments. Powerful presidencies, weak legislatures, extra-constitutional security courts, and emergency laws have all to varying degrees been hallmarks of the Egyptian, Algerian, and Turkish political systems. Now, we will ask him, but is it over the top to think that were it not for strong courts like this, we might have been heading for something similar in this country after 9/11?
Oh, I think that's probably further than I'd be prepared to go, but it is definitely an enormous strength of our system to have an independent judiciary that has the last word on these things.
And it will be the Supreme Court that has the last word on this particular case. And as you said before, with the Bush appointees there, we certainly can't declare this case closed, right?
This case has a lot of complicated technical doctrine. It wouldn't be that hard to find a way to rule the other way. It'll be very interesting to see what happens next. On the other hand, it's hard to see why the administration, having done the same thing with Padilla, why they don't just dump Almari into the criminal justice system and charge him there. Another interesting wrinkle in this case is he had been for quite some time in 2001 in the criminal justice system, charged with serious crimes. They yank him out of the criminal justice system to put him in military detention. That move has never been explained, but it sure suggests that the regular criminal justice system is a place that this guy could also be pursued.
New York Times national legal correspondent Adam Liptak. He has the lead story in the Times today about this Fourth Circuit Court ruling yesterday. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Brian.